Welcome to the Dope Black Women podcast. This is the space for black women around the world to share our stories and our experiences. I'm your girl Livs, and in this episode, we're talking about skin health and skincare. I'm joined by skin specialist DJ Adeli and skin blogger Zainab Danjuma. Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Dope Black Women podcast. Each week we explore stories and issues relating to black women and to our community. And we are now well into August and we have many, hopefully, hot summer days ahead of us. But for those of us like me who suffer with skin disorders or skin conditions or even just a general discomfort in our skin, this can cause a lot of anxiety. So I wanted to really have a conversation, an open one, get some good advice, hear other people's experiences, and yeah, just show that this isn't something we should be ashamed of, and it's actually very common. So I have two wonderful guests joining me on today's episode. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm DJ Adeli. I am a skin health expert and author of the forthcoming book, Black Skin. And I have a clinic up in central London that I work from.
And my name is Zainab Danjuma. I have been documenting my skin journey with eczema and TSW for about nearly 4 years now. And I just document it on YouTube and on Instagram with pictures.
So Zainab, do you mind by telling us a bit about, as you said, your journey and what that's been like and what your kind of, what is your relationship with your skin like now?
So I've had eczema ever since I was a baby. I think my mum said that she started me on medication around 6 months old, which is quite young. Since then, I honestly don't remember a time where I've had 100% clear skin. It's never been 100%. I'm 32 now. And 4 years ago, I decided to stop all medication. And that was a personal choice, just because the medication didn't seem to work anymore. I was using creams and my skin was still red, still inflamed. And when I stopped the medication, I went through a withdrawal process, something that many doctors won't acknowledge is real. And my skin was like 100 times worse than it ever has been. I was red, oozing, flaking, lots of hyperpigmentation, insomnia, just all these different symptoms. And I'm about 3.5 years in now, but I've just had a baby and I've gone through another flare. And I don't know if that's related to being pregnant and the hormones, if it was some medication that I was giving during my pregnancy, or is it just a coincidence? I don't know. But this journey is not over, not even close.
I mean, it's interesting you mention about some of the symptoms there. So me, myself, I have vitiligo. I've had vitiligo for really 10 years now when it first started. And I've always had really sensitive skin. When I was younger, it was eczema. And I have kind of managed to get it under control as you get older. I think as you get older, you learn to recognize the creams that work for you, you know, the food you should be eating, all that kind of stuff. But certainly I really relate to the flakiness, the itching, the redness of it, hyperpigmentation. And these are things which people, I don't see it. I don't see it represented on TV. I don't see it represented in films. I think that people assume that, oh, you must be dirty. There's something wrong with you. You don't take care of yourself because why do you have that and other people don't? DJ, I mean, how common would you say that is, that people think it's something that you're just not looking after yourself as opposed to it's not really something that you have under control?
I think it's very common, both from the person who's experiencing the skin condition, as well as the general public. And you hear people would say things like, you know, they want to give you advice all the time into what you should be doing. It's always unsolicited advice because you who have the condition, you are probably doing everything plus more than that you can to manage it. So it's very common. It's very common from both ends, those who are experiencing it and those who are not experiencing the condition, which makes me think that we all need to do better to understand how these conditions manifest and how we can all help each other through it. Because one thing I always say to people is you're never far away from a skin condition yourself. It's, you know, it's, and that's where the empathy comes in. There's no such thing as perfect skin. No one has. I mean, I work in the skincare industry and I've worked in it for a long time. I have far from perfect skin. What we should always be aiming for is the healthiest skin possible. And obviously there's lots of societal pressures and whatnot, but I feel as part of my role to really make sure that I speak a lot on healthy skin rather than a skin type or skin feeling that's unattainable.
Yeah, it's interesting because so I have quite a lot of scars on my body from and that is from sometimes, you know, you'll itch your skin so much until you literally scar yourself. And I think people are always surprised that my skin's quite soft. They kind of expect it to be rough and bumpy. And it's kind of like, no, I still try and take care of myself, even though I have these ongoing conditions that I live with. I think people have an idea of what, like, for example, acne. You know, I think we still see it as a stereotype that it's greasy teenagers who eat a lot of crap food and don't look after themselves, when you can get it any point in your life.
You can get acne at any point in your life. In fact, some of the, I guess, some of the cleanest people I know have acne. And when I say cleanest, I mean like they are the people who are so vigilant in keeping their skin clean. So the idea that you have a skin condition because you're dirty, sometimes, a lot of the time, is because those are the people who are fixated on the condition of their skin. So in fact, they're spending a lot of time, more than you and I, in keeping their skin hyper clean. And because the skin has a natural microbiome of bacteria and skin oils and everything else that lives on top of the skin, when you are hyper vigilant in cleaning your skin, you're actually damaging that microbiome as well. So the idea that you're dirty or you're filthy because you've got a skin condition is far from the truth. You are the person who's probably doing the most than anyone else.
Zainab, I mean, growing up with eczema, I mean, did people look at you a certain way, or did you internalize any messages about what that meant about your skin or the way you took care of yourself?
It's a bit of a mixed bag, to be honest. So when I was really little, so I think primary school times, I always mention this one boy in my class that I don't know what I did. I reached out for something and he just blurted out, "Zainab, you have really dry knuckles." Because back in the day, my knuckles used to split every time I'd make a fist. I had really bad eczema on my hands. And that was the only time that I've ever been called out, like really embarrassingly about my skin. And as I've got older, I think I've just got really good at hiding it, to the point where a lot of people didn't know I had eczema. And I think that's the problem with people with skin conditions. We try so hard to hide it as well, so that when you do go out into the public, like you said, you think you're the only one or it's not that common. But I mean, it would influence the type of clothes I would wear or how I would wear my hair, days that I would go out, things that I would do. For example, if people were going swimming and I was having a flare, I just wouldn't go. And it can really affect all these little things in your life that other people don't even have to think twice about. Mm. But even me right now, I mean, it's not exactly hot outside, but I'm in long sleeve because my arms are pretty bad right now. And it dictates everything I do every day.
Yeah. And I think this is why, you know, I wanted to have this conversation now, because I know for myself, every summer is almost like I need to build myself up and be like, okay, you know, people are going to look at some points, you know, people are going to stare, and then do that thing where they look away and pretend as if it never happened. It's like, you know, I know you're staring. I'm not an idiot. And you do almost kind of have to prepare yourself for how are people going to react. And it can be a very draining experience having to do that, if not every summer, every time you go on holiday or every time you wear a dress, whatever it might be. People don't see that. People don't even think about it, really.
I don't think people understand the struggle that it took for you to even get out in the morning. So, for example, you go out to a party and everyone's like, "Oh, you look so happy," but they didn't realize that you took 3 hours to get ready because you're extra dry. So you had to cream yourself a bit more today, or sit there and like just pretty yourself up in the morning. I remember when I was going for a really bad flare at my workplace, my manager was so nice and she allowed me to come in an hour late every day just to get the extra hour of just making myself feel comfortable. But when you're out in public, nobody understands that part of the story. They just see you out and you're happy. but the struggle and when you go home at night, the sleepless nights, and then you're waking up again to do the same thing every morning, it is draining. But I think most of us just put on a happy face, and most people just see the happy face.
I would completely agree in terms of, you know, I have clients who have various skin conditions, and it is a psyching up process, you know, to leave the house. It's a mental psyching up process, but it's also a physical and a practical one, making sure you have everything together. I have clients who, you know, not necessarily eczema, but they've got extremely dry skin, and they will, if they ran out of a particular type of moisturizer that they use and they found that that's their holy grail moisturizer, they will ask to buy two or three at a time, because and that's a mental thing. It's like, I never want to be without this. If we announce like at the moment we're on a summer break from work, and so the clinic is closed for a week, you have clients who will, because of that, just literally make a massive order. And whilst it's great, yes, obviously, you know, we run a business, it's great, but I know that I know where it's coming from. So I will always say, before we go on a break, I will give at least a month's notice, and we will over order our stock, because I know that we have certain clients who will want to buy two or three things just so they have it in the cupboard. And that is that where a mental fatigue also comes in. You have the fatigue of, you have to get up and you know, maybe change your nightdress in the middle of the night because your skin is oozing, perhaps. You have that fatigue. You also have the mental fatigue, and you also have the future mental
Me,
fatigue, where
literally.
You're constantly thinking
yeah.
about the future. You're yeah. checking the weather forecast. You are planning so far in advance. It's like, it's tiring for you. And then obviously your family members as well, they get tired of you because you are so hypervigilant all the time, and it starts to affect relationships around you as well. So I always say that, you know, everyone's coming from somewhere. Like when we see people out, like you say, someone sees you at a party, say you look nice. Everyone's coming from somewhere, and all our journeys are different. And some people's journey is harder than the vast majority of people, and that is again something that, you know, we need to pay attention to. I don't know if I'm just hyper vigilant of it, because obviously I work in the skincare industry, and you know, I see women every single day, so I'm just more conscious of the psychological side of things as well as the practical sides that I can help with.
No, it's so true, and I can relate to so much of it. I'm interested to know, so you mentioned that you specialize in black skin, and I'm wondering, you know, what have you kind of learned that is different or is worth knowing? Because I've been reading recently about how with skin conditions in particular, it's really important that the race of the person is highlighted, because say for example the symptoms will come out different, or they'll look different, and you know, people don't necessarily think of that.
So one of the key things is obviously how a disease or a skin condition presents on the skin. So, for example, three of us here are all black, but we come in very in different colours. We have three different shades. So how something looks on you, in terms of it might look red, you know, reddened look on you. On me, I might just look flushed instead. Or I might have a purplish tinge to my skin. And the other reason why that is important is because a lot of medical professionals, for example, I'm not a medical professional. So if someone comes to me with something that I think is eczema, I can only recommend that they go and see their GP. But when they get to their GP, if their GP has never seen that condition on a darker skin tone, it becomes an issue, or they get given the wrong medication. So therefore, they don't have a solution. Or a lot of the times when skin conditions and darker skin tones are taught, it's changing, I have to say, but a lot of time when it's taught at the extreme. So this is like the extreme version of eczema on a darker skin tone. So that medical professional is looking for that. They're looking for that one-off, very extreme case that they saw when they were a student. And when we know there's a spectrum, I'm sure Zainab, you go through periods of where it's, the flares are not that bad. So it becomes a spectrum of responses. The other reason why race has to be taken into consideration is because of cultural reasons. Now, and as a sort of Sierra Leonean Nigerian, dry skin meant, you know, putting on shea butter, and you know, in some parts of my culture, they'll say, you know, use black soap, which is a traditionally made soap, which, you know, has a very drying effect on the skin. So if you have a dry skin condition, using something like black soap isn't great. Shea butter is technically an oil. So if you've got a dry skin, you want to hydrate, you want to put moisture back into the skin. What shea butter does, it's an oil, you know, so it's not giving you moisture. It's just sealing that dryness into the skin. So that's another reason why, because physiologically, when it comes to skin, whether it's black, white, you know, whatever shade you, race you are, there are the differences are smaller than we think. There are some key differences. For example, you know, black skin studies show is drier than white skin, for example, Caucasian skin. So there are some differences, but they're not as great as we all think. It's usually culture and cultural practices that impact the race and then impacts how we treat the skin. So that's why I think, and I fundamentally believe it's important, because when I see women and they sit in front of me, they say things to me like, "You're Nigerian, I'm Nigerian, I know you're going to get me. You're black, I'm black, I know you're going to get me." And it's of no disrespect to my Caucasian colleagues or my white colleagues. What they mean is, culturally, you get me. You know what I mean by when I say I was rubbing shea butter or cocoa butter, or I was using black soap. I know, as soon as they say it, I know all the ins and outs of it. What auntie said this, what person came from abroad and gave them this. I know it, and I know the sort of pressure they would have been under about their skin and what to use on their skin. So that's really where they're coming from. And that's why race is important.
And I think that's, you know, I mean, people will say this all the time, but I do think social media plays a huge role in this, because within that community of skincare, oh my God, every day it's a new product or a new regime or a new thing you should be trying. And it is overwhelming because, and I think it's also quite dangerous. And I'm sure, Deja, you can relate to this, that a lot of these people aren't professionals or trained or have any expertise. And they're telling you, "Try this new thing on your face. It's great. It cleared my spot in one day. I put it on and took it off and it was gone." And I think, is that healthy? Like, is, I don't think that's how skin is supposed to work. Like,
it's really not.
And I think it is overwhelming.
Yeah. It is overwhelming, and I do see it a lot. And I mean, I try not to get involved in social media conversations for the simple reason that there are too many experts, but very few with the certification or qualifications to prove their expertise. And then it becomes, you know, a back and forth. So I tend to sit it out. But yeah, there are way too many people with opinions, way too much information online. I mean, we've hit a hill and come back down in terms of lockdown created a situation where everyone was off work. So content creation became the thing. So whether you had a qualification, whether you didn't have a qualification, you talk about it. And because people are impatient, they latch on to things because they're like, "Oh, I saw so-and-so talking about this and it looked like it worked for them and I want to try it too." And I'm always cautioning, make sure you seek a professional skincare consultation so you know what's right for you. Not what's right for Auntie Sally down the road. You want what's for you. I'm always saying that because people jump on the bandwagon. When I post skincare pictures, I would have clients calling my workplace saying, "I saw Deja posted about this sunscreen, but she recommended something different for me. Do you think I should get what she's posted on her social?" And I'm like, at least these are the clever ones who are actually calling up to find out. But there's people who will just go and get it, regardless of whether it's for them or not. Social has created a situation where we can share advice easily and we can share our experiences, which I think is great. But I do think that where people can sometimes be so desperate, the idea of taking 5 minutes out to double check and check in with themselves, whether that's something for them, People lose that ability because the desperation is high, because people want that flawless skin and they want it yesterday, because that's what social media and the filters and the magazines, that's what they've told us that we should be looking like. But it's a billion dollar market that's driven on women's, mainly women, men too, but mainly women's insecurities. And the insecurities are starting younger and younger. So the market is constantly fueled. And, you know, I don't think anyone has the answers, but I think consumers, you know, we can vote with our feet and our wallets and all that sort of stuff. And I think the answers lie with us rather than the brands themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's where my Instagram comes in. I've really posted pictures of what I actually look like, not a photo from a distance. I've zoomed in on my hands and my legs and my flaking skin and been like, well, if you think my skin looks good or you think I'm pretty, this is what I look like up close. And I think most of my pictures on my Instagram, I think all of them, to be honest, I don't wear makeup in them just because it's real, because I think people can relate more to a real photo than an airbrushed one. Because they're never going to be the airbrush picture. So when they see little blemishes, little scars, like you said, you have scars on your body too, they're like, yeah, that's more like me. But I would never, ever do this when I was younger. I would always hide. There was never a day I would leave the house without makeup, even if I was just going to the shop for a drink. And whereas now I can leave the house without makeup. And I think that's where times are changing. People are realizing that you don't have to be 100% all the time, and that people out there are dealing with the same issues where they don't want to wear makeup 24/7. They can't because they have bad skin. They might have acne. They need a break from it sometimes. So it's good to see. It's really bad to say natural skin. Why is it so hard to see natural skin? As bad as some of it may be, like people with acne, eczema, psoriasis, that is also natural skin. It doesn't have to be perfect natural skin, but we have varying degrees of perfect skin or normal skin.
Honestly, as you said, it is a multi-million dollar industry. And it's so funny how we're all being scammed, really, at the end of the day. Like, we're all being scammed to think that, like, as you said, there is such thing as flawless skin in the first place. And secondly, that we aren't allowed to age, that we should just not age. And I think it's just, it's ridiculous and it's crazy. And especially, as you said, they are getting younger and younger. I go on Instagram now and I go on TikTok, mm-hmm. and I think one of the latest trends is people using sun cream every day, which, like, I think is a good thing, you should be doing. But some of these people are like 17 and they're like, you know, I don't want to age, I'm using sun cream a day. And I'm like, girl, like, you're a kid. It's just, yeah, I think that psychologically there's something very damaging there, that we're not allowed to age.
Yeah, I think people latch on to one thing, like you say, the sunscreen trend now. People latch on to one thing and they think that's the thing. And, you know, immediately when you said that, the first thing that went through my mind was, what else are you using? What is the rest of your routine? So it's like when people say to me, well, I use vitamin C, and I go, okay, what else are you using? Well, they say, I use this really expensive product. And I go, what else have you surrounded yourself with? It's not just about that one thing. And now the sunscreen thing has been linked, obviously, sunscreen has always been linked to aging, but that has made it even more apparent. But when you're 17, aging isn't what you should be thinking about when you're applying sunscreen. It should be more just about sun damage and not damaging your skin. It shouldn't be because you are apprehensive of aging, because truth be told, we all age. You age from the day you're born. And yes, you can protect your skin, and it's about developing good habits for your skin. So your skin is healthy at every stage of your life, and your skin is supported when it's going through a patch of unhealthiness. But it is not about the fear of aging, because that will happen. And if that's all you're worried about, the aging process on your skin will be harder, and mentally it will be harder for you to take on than if you accepted it and looked after your skin as a whole, rather than focusing on just certain aspects of it.
And you know what? If you just leave it be, it may just clear up by itself. If you interfere with it and trying to pump it full of whatever, it may exacerbate the initial problem. A lot of times when it comes to a spot, you know that's going to go in like 2-3 days. But people want it gone now for some reason. They just can't wait the 2-3 days. Whereas someone like me, I've dealt with this for 32 years. I mean, I can wait a couple more days if I'm not looking for a miracle cure. I'm not looking for something to cure me tomorrow. I know that it's going to take a lot more time. When I first went through withdrawal, it took 6 months before my skin looked normal to the point where nobody would know what I'd been through. And 6 months is fine for me, but some people want it gone in 6 hours. And that's where you get into the medications and the face peels and all the drugs. And it's like, it's not necessary. Mm. Just wait it out.
100%. I wanted to talk briefly about scars because, as I mentioned, I do have quite a few scars all over my body that are self-inflicted from, you know, just scratching and scratching until it eventually leaves a scar. And Zainab, I'm sure this is something that you can relate to. It is such an uncomfortable thing to deal with because I think people look at them and either think, why on earth would you do that to yourself? Or make an assumption that, you know, it's something else that I've done to myself. You know, I remember the first time I went to a dermatologist and spoke about trying to use creams on my scars. And she said, you know, is this from a razor? And I was like, oh, no, no, it's just me scratching myself again and again and again. And they kind of look at you like, why would you do that?
Oh, my days. You've got to remember that sometimes doctors, as much as they're treating skin conditions, they've never experienced a skin condition themselves. So they're reading it from a book. They were like, okay, someone with eczema is itchy. They will have itchy, red, flaky skin. But what they will not understand is how itchy that itchy skin is. There are times when I've gone to the doctors and I've said, this cream, whatever they're giving me, it hurts. And they just can't comprehend that. The way that they're thinking is, she had an issue, I've given her a solution to that issue, it should work, you know? And they just don't understand how it feels. So when you're talking about, you've scratched yourself until it bleeds, trust me, I know how good that itch is. Mm. Better than sex, not even joking. It, honestly, like, you can keep going. And the thing is, you will see yourself bleed and you still can't stop. That's how bad it is. And nobody would want to do that to themselves. It's impossible to want to harm yourself like that, but it's the itch, you cannot stop. And one of the symptoms of me stopping my medication, my steroid medication, was the way they describe it is a bone deep itch. Like scratching the skin, it's not even touching the itch. You have to keep going. And there were times where I've scratched myself so much, first I start oozing like the fluid. And then if you keep going, you do bleed. Weirdly enough, I haven't really scarred myself too much from scratching. What I have got is a lot of thickened skin. That's from the friction of rubbing. It's called lichenification. Am I saying it right? Lichenification. So it's like, I call it crocodile skin because it goes quite bumpy, tough, rough. And some of the worst places that I got that was the bends in my arms. So like right here, because it's easily accessed. And I can scratch it anytime I want. And when I was younger, like I said, my hands, I used to sit on the carpet when I was little and rub my knuckles on the carpet because that was the only way I could stop that itch or reach that itch. And the backs of my hands for a very long time, like 10 years, they looked thickened and just discolored, a bit off. But as time went on, scars do fade. So if the scars that you have like inflicted on yourself are recent, I think if you don't have the same rash in the same area again, over time, the scar will fade. It might not disappear completely, but it will fade. But it is disheartening to look at your skin every day, seeing it red, bruised, cracked, flaking, and the itch. I know the amount of times that you thought you're coming to the end of a flare and then you scratch it and now you set yourself back like 2 weeks because you've got to heal this wound that you've made. I've been there 32 years, on and off, I understand. But scars do fade. Majority of scars do fade. And like you said, most people don't even notice them. I think most times you're more annoyed by the scars or you notice it more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on this this issue of scratching, you know, we talk about how this can really impact your mental health, how it is a very exhausting experience. I remember growing up, particularly in my teenage years where, you know, so my eczema was at its worst. I guess that has to do with puberty and hormones. You know, my friends would just automatically say, stop scratching, stop scratching. Mm. And to me,
I hate those words.
And to me, what I tried to explain to them was like, I know you think you're being helpful, but it's about as helpful as telling someone who has depression, just be happy. just be happy. Like, if it really was that simple, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this. And I think that is the thing, like you said, people just don't get it.
Mm. And it's quite dismissive, isn't it? Oh, just stop scratching. And it's like, you're sitting there, your skin is crawling, and someone's like, oh, I've got the solution, just stop scratching. And you're just like, that's not going to help. And it is quite embarrassing. I've been like, I don't know, family functions or whatever. And if someone says that to you in a group setting, and then everyone kind of just looks at you and you're just sitting there like, I really want to scratch, but now I can't because you're just staring at me. And then you feel like you just want to go off into another room and scratch in peace. And I've been swatted sometimes, you know, people grab your hands and I'm just like, it's really embarrassing, especially as a grown woman now. If I want to scratch, I'm going to scratch. But it is, I understand people mean well. But like you said, if someone was depressed, you don't just say, just cheer up.
Yeah.
Like it's like that. You're not helping the situation. You're not understanding like the full extent of it. Yeah, it's quite sad.
Yeah. Most of the times you're more hyper aware of it. This will never compare to eczema. But last week I got bitten by mosquitoes. I don't know how in this country, mosquitoes. But I got bitten on one arm. I don't know where, I must have been sat in a funny way or whatever. But on one arm I got bitten 6 times and it was so itchy. And this will never compare because I know exactly the itch you're talking about. Or I should say, I respect the itch you're talking about. But I just was like, and I kept saying to myself, don't scratch it because it will scar, it will hyperpigment, don't scratch it. But when you have a skin condition that you cannot control that urge to scratch, or if it's at night, you know, you don't even know you're scratching. You just wake up and you're like, oh, you know, I've got this, because my son sometimes wakes up and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he's wounded himself in the night just by scratching. And even though his eczema is so much under control now, he does have flare-ups. You can only respect what someone's telling you. And you're absolutely right that sometimes the medical profession don't quite understand, you know, they've got the textbook, this, she's itchy, she says she's itchy, give her this, but they don't quite get the extent to which or how itchy that is, which is why I always encourage people as well to participate in the trials. I know the Centre of Evidence-Based Dermatology up at Nottingham University, they do lots of eczema trials and skin condition trials, and they're always looking for more people to participate in the trials, because this is how the medical profession is then informed as to the extent of conditions. And scarring, yes, it is an issue in terms of you will see it more than other people do and you'll be more concerned about it. And that is the only time, one of the times I say that's when things like skin treatments can play a role, especially if the skin has healed, but you still have some scarring. That's when things like, you know, superficial chemical peels or things like microneedling, that's when those sorts of rejuvenating skin treatments can actually help to ensure that, you know, and I always say they're not about making your restoring your skin back to how it was, but it's always about improving the appearance of the scar in order or enough to boost your confidence so that you're less worried about it. So that, yes, you can wear that sleeveless top if you wanted to. And that is where people like me actually come into play, because we're not going to give you baby skin again. You know, baby skin, I always say, is for the babies. As you grow up, knocks and bumps, life happens. But we can assist with routines and products if the skin has healed, to help, and treatments to then help improve the appearance of the skin so that you're less. It's more about you than anything else. It's more about how you feel. And I always say, if you're not so bothered, crack on. But if you are bothered, then there are things that we can do to help.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you both have from a personal and also from a medical point of view in terms of the summer months when people are out more, showing more skin? You know, what the things that you think are important to know?
I always say that, you know, you number one, be familiar with your triggers. So most people would have kept a diary so they know their triggers. Prepare for the summer months in the spring. Don't wait until it is stonkingly hot before you start thinking, oh no, get your prep ready, which is your prep might be some long sleeve caftans if that's what you need, some hats, get your whatever lotions you're using, get them ready. You may need to start using them as you see the temperatures creeping up, not when the temperature's really hot, because you might need to allow it to sort of settle on the skin first before you start seeing relief from it. So don't wait until you know, it's now really hot. It's now approaching the 30s before you start using it. It does seem like, yes, you have to plan so far in advance because and nobody else. And that's some sort of unfairness of it sometimes. Nobody else has to do this. They can just get up and go. I guess I relate to it a lot because obviously I have a child who is allergic to many things and also has these eczema flare-ups. So I have to think 10,000 steps ahead of say the average parent, for example. But I think it's about that, accepting that that's where you are right now, which a lot of the time, because society puts so much pressure on us, can be difficult to accept. But there is that side plate of realism that has to go with it, and being as practical and solutions driven as possible.
And also pick your company wisely. I actually have a friend, literally my best friend, and she has eczema as well. So when we get together, there is none of this stop scratching business. There is just understanding, and we can relate to each other. If you hang out with people that, e.g., make you feel bad about your skin or make you feel uncomfortable, make you feel like you're disgusting, then they're not your friend. So in life as well, just pick your company wisely. And if your friends are willing to listen and understand your condition, you will feel more comfortable around them. And therefore, whenever you're with them, you don't feel so insecure or uncomfortable and feeling like an outsider. A lot of my friends now, well, obviously, because I have an Instagram literally showing pictures of my skin, they understand what my skin condition is like now. But when I was younger, I just kept it all to myself, and it made me a very withdrawn person. I still am to some aspects, but I'm more open to talking about my skin now. So I don't feel weirded out if people ask me questions about it, or what is this scar? Why is your skin so dry? What is this? Sometimes it is good to talk about it, and especially in summer when people are going to notice your skin more, because sometimes the heat makes you more red or sweaty. Sometimes it's just, it's about owning it. Like, this is your skin now. It might not, like you said, it might not be this bad next week, next year, but right now this is how I look, and I've had better days. But it's when people come up to you and they, like you said, unsolicited advice, that is quite annoying. But just understand, when you have bad skin, you're gonna have people that come up to you and say things like that. So you have to own it. Be prepared for an answer. Just be like, oh, I've tried that. Sorry, it didn't work. You know, just own it. Own your skin as it is right now.
It's so true what Zainab says about just, again, yes, owning your skin, but knowing that we can highlight and celebrate each other without it being about our skin and our appearance. You know, I have a daughter as well, and I always will commend her work. I'll commend, you know, maybe how neat she's done her hair rather than the hair itself. I wouldn't commend her, you know, her long hair or anything like that. Commend, oh, you've done your hair really neatly, or, you know, you have tidied yourself up really well. But without actually commenting on someone in great detail. And I think that's a skill that, you know, we all need to learn. It's not about people's physical appearance. It's about them themselves, and learning more from each other. I think Zainab's account and many others are great educational tools. And we need to ensure that as a society, or especially within like beauty and skincare industry, which is getting better, granted, but we do show a wide spectrum of skin and what is normal and why people might have different types of skin.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope that you found it helpful and insightful and can just take some of this knowledge into how we all appreciate and talk about our skin. Make sure you keep up with everything we do at Dope Black Women on Twitter and Facebook, and at Dope Black Women 1 on Insta. Till next week, stay blessed and unapologetically black.